Your next speaker is Maxie Boren.
The spiritual conflict that all of us are involved in. And I'm going to ask each one of you to take your Bible in hand and open it up to the book of 2 Corinthians, if you would, please, chapter 10. Most of you are familiar with this passage, but we want to look at it nonetheless. And I'm going to read in your hearing verses 3 through 5. And I'm reading from the American Standard Translation, and this was the Apostle Paul writing to Christians. And here's what he had to say. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And so we're engaged in warfare, number one, that we must understand and realize. And I'm fearful that oftentimes we're oblivious to that fact. We seem to be a very ill-prepared army for the task that is before us. And we need to rectify that situation. And we need to awaken every soldier of Christ to the responsibility that is his or hers. And realize that we are engaged in a life and death struggle. And it's going on right now in your life and in my life. We have an avowed enemy named Satan who seeks to destroy us. And he is a formidable foe. And we dare not underestimate our adversary. The Bible describes him as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And he indeed can gain mastery over you or over me if we let down our guard and allow him to do so. And that's the reason we chose this morning for our scripture reading, the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, that Russ read for us a few moments ago. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and having done all, to stand. And it's needful that we realize the responsibility that we have as soldiers of Christ to stand up for Jesus and to be counted in the fight for that which is right and good and true, and against that which is wrong and sinful and which will destroy humankind. Well, I want us to consider three or four things this morning, and I hope and pray that the thoughts I have in mind will be helpful to us all. Number one, we as soldiers of Christ must honor the one who is our commander. And the one who is our commander is, of course, Jesus Christ. And He deserves our loyalty. He deserves our allegiance. And there should be no doubt whatsoever as to whom you serve, nor as to whom I serve. Christ is our commander, and we need to be loyal and true to Him. There is a passage over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to be making reference to it a number of times in our lesson this morning. But one thing that is stated is, after positive and negative things are made mention of, is the latter part of verse 4, where Paul teaches that we may please Him who enrolled us as a soldier. We've been enrolled, as it were, as soldiers in the army of Christ. And we should have one desire, and that desire is to please Him who has enrolled us. Well, the one who enrolled us is our Lord and our Savior, the commander of this spiritual army of which we are a part. And the Bible teaches us that if we love Him, we will keep His commandments. John chapter 14 and verse 15. And in verse 21 of the same chapter, Jesus Himself said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." So the very first thing that I want to call to your attention as we think in terms of this great spiritual conflict that is going on in which we are engaged, whether we realize it or not, oftentimes in a lackadaisical fashion. And that's what we must rectify. We must realize that it deserves the very best that we have to offer. And we should have this one desire to please Him that has enrolled us as a soldier. And in order to please Him, I must be loyal to Him. And my full allegiance belongs to Him. And I seek to do His will in all that I'm involved in. Secondly, we as good soldiers of Jesus must be vigilant. I remember in World War II, when I was just a lad, that there was a song that was sung quite often over the radio at that time, and that is, "We must be vigilant. We must be vigilant." And I believe it was called the American Patrol. And certainly that's true. We must be watchful. A moment ago I made mention of 1 Peter 5, verse 8. And when Peter introduced Satan there as our great adversary, he started out by saying, "Be watchful. Be sober." In other words, be vigilant. Realize and recognize that you do have an enemy. And this enemy is a very resourceful enemy and a very powerful enemy, a very potent enemy. And we must learn all that we can concerning his tactics to bring us to spiritual ruination. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, when Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren concerning another matter, he at least reminded them concerning Satan, "We are not ignorant of his devices, his tactics, the way he seduces people from God. And we dare not be ignorant of it either. Therefore, we need to be informed." We need to wake up and realize that we have a foe, a very potent foe, who is out to destroy us, and we must be watchful. And we must be watchful to avoid temptation, and we must be watchful against any false doctrine or teaching that comes along. And we must be watchful against being just a nominal Christian. Do you know what I consider to be the number one problem in the church today? I know that liberalism is a problem, and certainly we would put it in the top 10, no doubt about it. Or on the other extreme hand, you would have a radical circle-drawing mindset. That's a problem, an anti-type spirit that prevails in the minds of a lot of people. But neither one of those would be the main problem. In my estimation, the number one problem that's plaguing the church today is our indifference. We seem so nonchalant about Christianity. We don't appear to be soldiers ready for the fight and equipped for the fight and eager to get in and to dispose of the one who is our enemy. I don't see that. Maybe you do. I don't. Not within the rank and file of members of the church today. I see people that are somewhat indifferent about it all, that are rather nonchalant about it all, that don't seem overly concerned about it all. They're not watchful. They're not vigilant. And if you don't gain anything else from our lesson this morning, let me somehow underscore that thought. You and I must be vigilant. We must be aware that we have an enemy, and that this enemy is a formidable foe, and that he seeks our ruination, and that he is indeed using every device at his disposal, every seducing tactic, constantly waving the little carrot in front of our eyes, as it were, trying to entice us, to allure us into sin and away from God. We've got to be vigilant and watchful concerning that. Do you remember in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus had the burden of the world's sins on his shoulder? He knew within just a few hours he would have to endure the agony of the cross, bearing your sins and mine upon the tree. And so it was that he took his three most trusted disciples, Peter, James, and John, and he took them with him to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said to them, in essence, "I want you to stay here and watch, and I'm going to go yonder into the garden to pray." And the Lord came back and he found them sleeping. That's how indifferent they were. They weren't vigilant as to what was going on about them, that Christ was bearing this tremendous burden, and they went to sleep. Jesus awakened them. And he went the second time and came back the second time, and they were still asleep. And he made that very well-known statement, the spirit is willing, but the flesh indeed is weak. And I think that's true in your life and in my life. As we sing these wonderful hymns that Chuck led us in this morning and that the others lead us in from time to time, doesn't it make you feel down deep? I want to do what's right. I want to be faithful to my Lord. We have those noble impulses. But then when we face the nitty-gritty of actually implementing those noble impulses and doing all that we need to do for the Lord, the flesh is so weak. And we tire out rather quickly. And oftentimes we're indifferent and drift to sleep, as it were. And I can just almost hear my Lord coming to me or to you and saying, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch that you fall not into temptation. That's what he said. You read Matthew 26, beginning with verse 36, and you'll find our Lord said, watch that you be not tempted to be taken away. That's what the Lord was saying. Finally, after the third time, he came back and found them asleep again, and he said, sleep on now and take your rest, because the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. We can't let our Lord down. We must be watchful. We must be aware that we have an adversary and that we are in an all-out fight. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6, Paul made this statement, let us not sleep as do the rest, but let us watch and be sober. Well, the idea of being watchful and the idea of being vigilant are one and the same. We must be vigilant. We must be watchful. We must be watchful and vigilant against temptation and against false doctrine. And I turn over to the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, where Paul gave his farewell address to the elders of the Lord's church in the city of Ephesus. And he said, I know that after my departure, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And men shall arise from among yourselves, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Now listen to verse 31. Wherefore watch ye. Notice that. Wherefore watch ye. Remembering that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to admonish you night and day with tears. Well, what more can a preacher do? Paul admonished these brethren for 3 years. And in essence, he told them, you need to be vigilant because I know what's going to happen when I leave. Why, there are going to be men which will arise from among yourselves speaking perverse things, and they'll have the desire to draw away the disciples after them. Wherefore, watch ye. Remembering how that over these last 3 years, I cease not to admonish you night and day with tears. Well, I don't put myself in the class of the Apostle Paul, not for one moment. But from the deep recesses of my heart this morning, I am admonishing you, somewhat similar to the way Paul admonished those brethren, of the dangers that we're facing in the spiritual realm of warfare. Certainly there's danger in carnal warfare. People lose their lives in carnal warfare, but brethren, in spiritual warfare, people lose their souls. And the soul is more valuable than the body. And each one of us present this morning is going to experience eternity, and where we experience eternity is going to depend in large measure to whether or not we're vigilant and watchful as to what's going on in this spiritual realm. That there is an enemy that seeks to ruin us. On the other hand is our Lord, who is the captain of our souls, as it were, to whom we owe our utmost allegiance and loyalty. We must be true to Him. And He warns us and He tells us, be watchful. The devil's out there seeking to destroy you, seeking to entice you, to allure you into committing sin and to pursuing a sinful lifestyle. Don't let him have his way with you. Well, I come along years later as simply a gospel preacher, and I remind you of these passages and admonish you to heed what the Lord and the apostles taught in the first century. Things seem to have gotten worse and worse. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches. Evil men and imposters shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that's what we see in our world today. So much deceit. People gullible in allowing themselves to be deceived. We must be vigilant against temptation and against false doctrine. Quit ye like men, be watchful, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 tells us. Watchful against nominal Christianity, against a half-hearted engagement in this battle that we're fighting from day to day. When the Lord wrote to the church in Sardis in the third chapter of the book of Revelation, you might want to turn there real quickly, and let's look at verses 1, 2, and 3 of Revelation chapter 3. These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you're alive, yet you're dead. Be thou watchful, verse 2. And establish the things that remain which were ready to die. For I have found no works of thine perfected before my God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and didst hear, and keep it and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon you. Twice in three verses there, the Lord taught the importance of being watchful. And I urge you to be vigilant. Now, number three, great soldiers, good soldiers of Christ, are willing to endure whatever sacrifices or hardships they confront. As we've watched what's going on over in Iraq over the last several weeks, I've marveled in my own mind how those young men and women that are in our military have been able to survive just the physical surroundings, much less the enemy as it's firing upon them, but just the desert sands and the difficulties of surviving just being there is rather amazing. Well, we too face all kinds of difficulties if we really get into the battle. Now, we can stand on the sidelines and not involve ourselves, and I think we have a lot of members of the church that are doing just that. They're sitting on the sidelines and they're not really involving themselves. But if we really involve ourselves, we're going to face hardships, and there's going to be the need for sacrifice in order to be good soldiers of Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, I told you we would be looking at that passage. Paul said, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." That's 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. Every one of us need to read that. Well, you see, our entire lives are to be given in sacrifice. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul said, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." And that's exactly what each one of us needs to do. We've enrolled, as it were, as soldiers of Christ. And Christ has enrolled us, and our names have been listed in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're in the army of the Lord, and He is calling on you, and He's calling on me to involve ourselves in the fray. And we're to go in prepared and with a zeal to overcome and to defeat the enemy. And if we fail to do that, we're going to have to answer for it. The last thought that I want to bring to your attention is that good soldiers do not entangle themselves in other matters that don't really pertain to the struggle that we're engaged in. Each one of us needs to have one thing in mind, and that is victory through Jesus Christ. In verse 4 of 2 Timothy 3, Paul wrote and said, "No soldier on service entangles himself in the affairs of this life." And that's what so many often do. We get sidetracked by the one who is our enemy, and he deceives us, he deludes us into thinking that this world is our home and that that's where our efforts and our desires should be. And we lose sight of what really is our home, and our real home is in heaven. And that's the reason Jesus said what he did in Matthew chapter 6. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth, where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But I say unto you, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves cannot break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, Jesus said. And then in that same context, he went ahead to tell that no man can serve two masters. Listen to what he said. The lamp of the body is the eye, and if therefore thy eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye be evil, then your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you turns to darkness, how great is the darkness? No man can serve two masters. We need to know that. A simple statement, but it has such a wealth of material all entwined in it. No man can serve two masters. Either we're going to serve Christ or we're going to serve Satan. You can't serve both at the same time. We must wake up to those facts. We must have a singular desire, as Paul expressed in Philippians 1 verse 21, for to me to live is Christ. When each one of us can truly say that from the deep recesses of his or her heart, for me to live is Christ, that's the one obsession that I have. And heaven is the one aim and the one goal that is mine. Then we're going to be good soldiers of Christ, involved in the warfare that is going on right now. I hope and pray that if you're present this morning as a Christian, that you will resolve from this day forward, indeed I will be a good soldier of my Lord. I will give Him my full loyalty. I will be vigilant as to the dangers that are surrounding me. And I will involve myself in the battle for good and right and true and stand against Satan and his evil cohorts as they seek to destroy the souls of men. If you're present this morning and you're not a Christian, we would encourage you to enroll, as it were, in the Lamb's Book of Life. How do you do that? The Bible says you must obey the gospel. The gospel of Christ is God's power to save. It tells about God's love. It tells about God's grace and the great sacrifice made by Jesus Christ in behalf of all mankind. You must believe that indeed Christ died on the cross for your sins and mine, that He was buried, but through the power of God on the third day came forth victorious from the grave, and then later ascended back to the Father, where presently He's seated at God's right hand as the commander-in-chief of His army. You need to enroll as one of His soldiers in His army through faith in Him and obedience to the commands of the gospel. Turn away from sin and repentance. Be willing to confess His sweet name as the Son of God and be baptized straightway into Him for the forgiveness of your sins.